Chapter 7. Prostate Surgery and Other Options. A common operation in the private parts department removes obstructions in the prostate gland that block or impede normal urine flow. A surgical instrument, called a resectoscope, enters the gland and cuts away blockage piece by piece. The operation offers a safe and completely effective solution for men who seem to have to urinate all the time, can't empty their bladders completely, or lose sleep because they must get up so often at night. Such a procedure is the answer for the fellow who misses the best part of the ball game because he's in the restroom under the stands trying to get something going at the urinal. The fellow who can hear the excitement and can't help but notice that two men and a boy have come and gone in the next stall while he's still standing in place. The name for this operation is transurethral resection of the prostate, or TURP. When more conservative measures, including medications, fail, a transurethral resection is the treatment of choice for an obstructed prostate gland. The name gives a clue of how the operation is performed. Transurethral means that the surgical instrument is directed through the urethra, the normal channel through the penis, to reach the prostate. This sounds gruesome, but no skin incision is necessary, hence no scarring. The surgery, as well as the post-operative period, is painless. For most patients, a hospital stay of one or two nights is all that is required. Symptoms that bring men into the doctor's office and that ultimately lead to a TURP operation ordinarily involve problems in passing urine. These can be an urgency to urinate that forces a man to get up four or five times a night, difficulty in starting, pain during urination, inability to empty the bladder satisfactorily, a need to urinate again after having just done so, a urine flow that starts and stops, and even dribbling on one's pants. On examination, the doctor probably will find that the prostate feels somewhat enlarged. He may be assisted in his diagnosis by an X-ray of the kidneys or an ultrasound examination of the prostate. In most cases, the enlargement will stem from a condition called benign prostatic hyperplasia, an apparent overproduction of cells. The cause of hyperplasia is unknown, but the result is a growth within the prostate that crowds against the urethra. This crowding impedes or blocks flow from the bladder and creates other difficulties with urination, just as a clamp set too tight could cut off flow in a garden hose. The purpose of the transurethral resection of the prostate is to remove the obstruction growth, and it's sort of like peeling an orange from the inside, but leaving the rind, the prostate, unchanged. The resectoscope, the instrument that is inserted through the penis, is a long metal tube with an attached light, a channel for water flow, and a loop of fine wire that can be charged with controlled amounts of electricity. The surgeon moves the loop back and forth, his hand motions akin to playing a tiny trombone, and chips away at the excess growth. The chips are irrigated out by water. The operation takes about an hour. As mentioned, it is not painful, and neither is the post-operative period. After the operation, a catheter is inserted through the prostate and into the bladder to drain blood and urine and to give the bladder a rest. Usually, the patient can eat a normal meal on the evening after or on the morning following the operation. The catheter may be removed the following morning. Then the patient may go home to lead a sedentary life for 3 to 4 weeks. The operation is successful in 95% of all cases. In a few cases, regrowth of obstructive tissues may occur. Further, it must be noted that a TURP cannot guarantee freedom from cancer. That is not its purpose. It is still possible that cancer unrelated to the operation can develop months or years later. Urinary incontinence is not common after a transurethral resection. There may be mild leakage for a time after returning from the hospital. This usually clears up after a few weeks. And in most cases, the operation does not impede erectile function. If the patient was potent before the operation, he will usually be potent after it. However, potency should not be confused with fertility. Frequently, patients become infertile after a transurethral resection because the operation changes the structure of the bladder neck. That change diverts ejaculate from its normal path through the penis and sends it into the bladder instead. There is no change in sensation, but at the moment of orgasm, a man may be having a retrograde ejaculation. He is going instead of coming, so to speak. Every year, thousands of men have the operation, and of course many of them like to talk about it. A man contemplating such an operation could profit by talking with those who have had it. What to do before you see your physician and urologist? Be prepared, the Boy Scouts once taught many of us. It's a lesson we could do well to follow today, visiting the doctor. Get information about your symptoms and circumstances, your family history, and your medical records. Whether this is gained via informational internet sites or from your own research, certain things should be done prior to seeing your physician to make your visit more productive. A physician's time is very limited, and if you have your information readily available, you can ask the proper questions and get the right answers. Every man over 50 years of age, over 40 if you have a history of prostate cancer in your family tree, should see a physician yearly and have an examination for their private parts. Things to be checked. PSA. Make sure there has been no ejaculation or other manipulation of the prostate 3 days prior to any PSA blood test. That means no intercourse, masturbation, or even bike riding. Also make sure you have no symptoms of burning, abnormally frequent urination, fever, or chills prior to the PSA test. Symptom score. Take the International or American Urologic Association test, seen in Chapter 12. Go to the doctor armed with your score. Also check the PSA value relative to your age group in the tables. Flow. When you go to void, have a full bladder. Check your flow by urinating into a graduated receptacle. A kitchen household cup is adequate if you know the graduations. 30 cubic centiliters, cc's, per ounce is the usual size. Flow for 10 seconds and collect the flow, then calculate your flow per second. 100 cc's flow in 10 seconds, for example, is equal to 10 cc's per second, borderline low flow. Do this at least 3 or 4 times, and take this information to your physician and urologist. Incidentally, many patients say that their urinary flow is better after ejaculating, and better flow is noted after ejaculation for a day or two in elderly men with benign prostatic hypertrophy, BPH. A visit to the physician can yield any number of findings, 2 being benign prostatic hyperplasia and cancer. Should the former be revealed, discuss the treatments available and the merits of starting with a trial of medication such as an alpha blocker like Cardura, Hertin or Flomax. Ask too about alternative medications and other less invasive treatments, but do not avoid asking about the standard old treatment of transurethral resection. If carcinoma of the prostate is found, ask your physician about radical prostatectomy, both retropubic or perineal types, with and without pelvic lymph node resection. Also ask about laparoscopic prostatectomy, a procedure developed in France in the last few years, now done at a few centres in the United States. It is highly technical and not for everyone, patients and medical professionals alike, but it is highly effective when done by a urologist with expertise in laparoscopic surgery. Radiation therapy is also an option, with conformal external bean and or seed therapy being the most commonly pursued. Avoiding the knife. In virtually any circumstance, every man hopes to avoid the knife. When it comes to the prostate, new techniques may correct your problem and obviate the need for surgery. Often, watchful waiting on symptoms is recommended because in some patients, prostate obstructive symptoms tend to level off to an acceptable level after some time. When treatment is undertaken, it is my opinion that drug therapy should be the first choice. In the past decade, alpha blockers, terazosin, doxazosin and tamsulosin, respectively marketed as Hertin, Cardura and Flomax, have been prescribed to relax the prostate and bladder neck muscles by acting on the nerves in these areas and thereby improving urine flow. Another drug, finasteride, Proscar, blocks a testosterone-like chemical. Taken once per day, this medication, like the others administered orally, can shrink the prostate in some men and thus reduce their urinary symptoms. In addition to drug therapy, there are a number of treatments that vary in degree of invasiveness. Urologists use these latter treatments when drug therapy is ineffective. Transurethral microwave therapy uses heat to damage prostate tissue and a cooling system to protect the urethra from damage. While it does not cure BPH, microwave therapy does, however, help alleviate urinary frequency, urgency, straining, and intermittent flow. Another technique, transurethral needle ablation, uses low-level radio frequency, energy delivered through needles, to heat the prostate. It too seeks to shield the urethra from damage. Neither microwave therapy nor needle ablation, nor the medications, appears to affect potency or cause incontinence in the vast majority of patients. Other treatments being tried include balloon dilatation of the prostatic urethra, which has not yielded favourable results and thus is rarely used, and stents, early use of which was initially considered favourable, only to see long-term results not up to the standards of other techniques. Radical prostatectomy. Other than skin cancer, prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer among men in the United States. Only lung cancer takes more lives. Although we don't know the natural history of this disease or how to prevent it, it seems to be very treatable when detected early. Prostate cancer usually has no symptoms in its early stages, so the only chance one has for early detection is a PSA test and digital rectal examination during an annual checkup. If your father or brother has had prostate cancer, you are at risk, so starting at age 40 you should be checked yearly. When symptoms do appear, they can be similar to those of an enlarged but non-cancerous prostate, various problems with urination. But a doctor may also find a hard spot, bump, or asymmetry on the side of the prostate during his routine digital rectal examination, and that is a strong indication of cancer. The only sure way to diagnose this insidious cancer, however, is to take samples of the prostate gland with a needle under ultrasound guidance. If cancer is diagnosed, it is mandatory that the physician determine the extent of the cancerous growth. The PSA blood test and bone scans will help determine the extent of the cancer. If the cancer is quite active microscopically from the biopsy, say Gleason grade 8 on a scale of 10, an operation would not be recommended. Similarly, when cancer has spread beyond the prostate, no operation can cure it. Prostate cancer generally progresses slowly, so some men opt, when diagnosed, for a watchful waiting treatment program. Other treatments include surgery, such as radical prostatectomy, radiation therapy, hormone therapy, and chemotherapy. These therapies can be used alone or in combination depending on the clinical circumstances. The stage and aggressiveness of the tumour determine the methods to be used in any cancer treatment. Among other side effects, impotence and incontinence can result from some treatment methods, and thorough discussion of these factors should be undertaken before any treatment is selected.